Okay, we're starting now on page Kuf Ayin Tes. We are now going to begin the 30 exercises of Cheshbon HaNefesh, and we'll probably will do a couple here and there. Ha'ofen HaRishon, the first method in which you can make a Cheshbon HaNefesh, she's bonein ha'odom bihishtal shaluso, is that a person should reflect on his evolvement. V'yitein ma'bot al tchilas hishavuvuso. A person should take a good look at the beginning of his existence.
Oh, evolvement.
Yeah, evolvement. What did I say?
Evolvement.
To evolve. The way he evolved. Hishtalshalus is to evolve. Okay? And take a good look at the beginning of his existence. Ketzad shiyotza mehaheder el hametzius, to see how he came from nothingness into a reality. V'hafach me'ayin liyesh, and how he turned from nothing into a something. Mibli shahoysobo lifneichein eiza shimala shetachayvzos, and there wasn't beforehand any virtue that he had that would obligate that he would have to be created. It's only from Hashem's kindness, tuva unadivuso, his goodness and his philanthropic spirit. That's step one. Step one is to realize exactly where you're coming from. Okay? So, Hashem's great kindness. Point two, v'yavin b'sichlo, and he should understand intellectually, ki matzava yoser nalo, his situation is most lofty. Umadregoso yoser raman, his level is very high. Umaskunto yoser ulo mizo shel adom. Maskunto means his makeup. His makeup is much more valued than an inanimate object, or a tzemech, or a plant, or a chai, or an animal. But Hashem who yisbonim b'chol zev, he really reflects on all of this. V'yavin zos, and understand this. He's obliged to thank Hashem for this. Okay, you know, you could have been a chair. You could be a dog. All right? You could have been a blade of grass all your existence. But no, you're a human being. And we will, as we go on, we will see all kinds of things that a human being is. Okay. That's the second point. So not, first you came into existence, and look what kind of being that you are. Continues. V'yikarev l'sichlo, he should bring it into his intellect. Es havonas chavasa zo al yidei mashal dom. He should understand what his obligation is through the following mashal. Yitar la'atzmo, a picture for yourself. Ilu ha'isa imu mashlicha so l'rachov ba'oda tinok. If his mother would have thrown him into the street when he was a little baby, and would be passing by a person who would see him, took compassion on him, and brought him into his house, and was involved in raising him up, until he grew up and became a man. How much he would be alacritous to fulfill the wish of this man. Velaso says, Kol mashu mitzavolo, he'd do anything he would tell him to do. Ulizar, he'd be careful, me kol mashu oso, and he would stay away from anything he told him not to do. Vakamachovas hayu mutola solov klapetum, so how much obligation he would have placed on him towards this person. And that's the way it would be if that person did you those kinds of favors. So now you got to reflect. He kama yaser haboyre shomer alav umasapik lo es kol tzrachav meodo. Now you got to reflect how much more so the Creator watches over him and takes care of all his needs from his very beginning. Ubehetem lekach, and in corresponding to that, yidrosh me'atzmo, he would seek out from himself, demand from himself, limoshech acharei avodoso, to draw himself after his service, accept upon himself his mitzvahs. Ukvar hochiach Moshe Rabbeinu v'shom esol b'derech zeh, and Moshe Rabbeinu already has shown the people, rebuked literally, but has shown the truth in this. B'amar, when he says, Hala Hashem tigmal uzos, have you done kindness to Hashem? Am naval, a foolish people, v'lo chacham, and not a wise people. Right? Hallo hu avicha, behold, isn't he your father? Kanecha, your the one who made you, hu ascha ve'chonenecha. In other words, look what Hashem has done for you, and this is how you repay him? You foolish ones? He's calling us foolish and not intelligent. Right? V'gam Yecheskel Anovi, hochiach esol b'evin, say Yecheskel also rebuked us the same way. K'mavar barichas b'parshas v'ver alech v'erech b'mis'boseses b'domayach. That whole nivu over there where he was telling us that you were wallowing in your blood and Hashem saved us from that. Okay? So that's what you have to begin to think, you know, how has Hashem treated us? So really, every one of these really needs an exercise, as it were. And the exercise over here, that would be for today, is to constantly spend a few minutes reflecting on this idea at least once a day, that think about from the beginning, it's all been Hashem. He's given me everything, and I am that orphan at the doorstep. So what should I do to show my gratefulness to Hashem? Okay, Hashem's picked you up from the doorstep, and think about all the things that Hashem is asking us to do that maybe we have still been negligent in. Are we going to finally do it or not? Okay, so, you know, that's could be the gamut of things. You know, Hashem is saying, you know, please don't talk any more Lashon Hara. Please come to shul on time. Please stop getting angry and yelling at people. You know, maybe get involved and help, stop a Jew from giving up his Yiddishkeit. In other words, there are things that Hashem wants us to do, and are we doing them? But you say, well, why should I do it? Well, listen, it's a question of gratitude. If Hashem has done all these things, then a person should be able to show that kind of gratitude to Hashem. And that really is the greatest motivator to make sure that the person will do those things. All right, so that is the first of the 30 steps. Okay, any questions? Mm-hmm. No questions. Okay, now I'm just looking because I don't know if you noticed, I sent you some notes. There's notes on every one of these classes.
Yeah, today's part one, part two, part three.
That was yesterday. That was yesterday. Today, we're already starting part four, and we're going to do part five. And I'm just, as I'm speaking, I'm looking to find part five that I know is here. Just one. I'm ready for the next one. Okay. We're ready for the next one. Now, if you look at this first tool, if you look at this first tool, person do you feel any different now that you're the abandoned child, etc., etc.? Now, do you feel a sense of Hakaras HaTov for this? Now, there's many that may still not feel Hakaras HaTov because the people could still have an issue with this parable. Here's what it is. The person could say the following. Person could say, and I once had this personally with somebody. The person will remain nameless. He's a nice Jew. I see him from time to time. And years ago, this is what he always said. He said, I never asked God to create
me. Right, don't make me and then I don't have to worry about it.
I didn't ask the benefactor to pick me up. I didn't ask him for any favors. I don't owe him anything. He did it on his own accord, probably because it made him feel good to do that. Perhaps he maybe never had any children. And my being on the doorstep present an opportunity for him to raise a child he never had. And it could be his intentions were for his own benefit and not mine. Therefore, let him take pleasure in what he did, but don't expect anything from me.
And here's even more so, because Hashem actually created you with this problem of needing to be taken care of.
Right, so I don't owe Hashem anything. I didn't ask him to bring me into the world. He didn't ask my opinion. And that's it. So there's many ways to respond to that question. One way you could look in Rav Dessler's essay on Hakaras HaTov, where he gives a beautiful explanation of what Hakaras HaTov is. He talks about Hakaras HaTov doesn't depend on you looking at the giver, but it's the receiver for his own benefit. But that's a whole different shmooze. I don't want to go into it. But but if you look at the pasuk that the Chovas Avavas gives, that he brings as a proof, may be an answer to the question by that particular point he brings, as we go back to that first tool. And you got to really know, it's a golden rule to know in Rishon. I mean, he was a Rishon. I mean, for sure, even a little bit before the Rishon. Like, this was around the 10th century. So when they bring a pasuk to prove their point, you got to analyze the pasuk, look into the commentaries, into the pasuk and the quote, and ask yourself, why did he pick that particular pasuk to prove the point? Why didn't he choose other pasukim that would seem to prove the same point? So usually there's a real reason for this. So let's look at what pasuk. Let's go back to that pasuk. It's in Dvarim Lamed Beis, pasuk Vav, is the pasuk that he brings. And the pasuk says, is it to Hashem that you do this? Right? Hale Hashem tigmuluzos, O vile and unwise people, is he not your father, your master? Has he not created you and formed you? Now, if you look at the Kli Yoker, that's your favorite commentary, he has a beautiful interpretation of this pasuk that sheds light on the issue at hand over here. He connects this pasuk to the one before it. There's a pasuk before it that in English says, corruption is not his, the blemish is his children's, a perverse and twisted generation. Okay, now it'd be better to look in the original Hebrew, but we're not looking at it right now. So, and the Kli Yoker is quoting other psukim of the book of Iov, and it's all in the notes, in Perek Lamed Hei, Psukim, Vav, and Zion. If you look in the Kli Yoker there is in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Vav. But he said, it says in Eov over there, were you to have transgressed, how would you have affected him? Even if your rebellions were numerous, what would you have done to him? Were you to have been righteous, how would you have benefited him? Indeed, what would he take from your hand? So what is Eov saying over there? So the pasuk there helps understand the psukim in Dvarim. Before Moshe is about to rebuke the Jewish people, he gives an introduction by saying, don't mistakenly think that it makes any difference to Hashem if you do good or bad things, or that God is looking out for his own interest, trying to avoid getting damaged by the sins you do and to help himself by the mitzvahs you do. Nonsense. You are mistaken in both points. And that's what he's saying regarding any possible damage you can do to Hashem. Pasuk Hei says, Shichet lo, corruption is not his. Shichet lo, corruption is not his. And Targum explains, the destruction that you bring through your averus is not to him, because even if your rebellions are numerous, what can you do to him? Right? When you do an aver, the destruction and blemish are yours, not his. Shichet lo, the destruction is not to him. When you do an aver, the destruction and blemish are yours and not his, you suffer the consequences of the mistakes. Hashem doesn't. And regarding the other mistake, the Kli Yoker explains the word gemul. Gemul means a reward for a good deed. Right? That's what it says over there in that pasuk. The next part, hatigmulol Hashem. Is it to Hashem that you do this? That's the next part of the pasuk. So regarding that part, gemul means that the word gemul means a reward or a good deed. So he explains the pasuk this. Do you think God gets any reward or benefit from your positive actions? Right? Are you gonna give God something? No way. You get all the benefit. So before he finally comes to you foolish people who don't listen to him, so you see, to summarize, these psukim are saying that the only one who suffers or benefits from what a person does is the person himself. You don't affect Hashem in any way. And that's why the Chovas HaVavas brings this pasuk to support the first tool. You're the child at the doorstep, and you have to realize that it made no difference to Hashem if he picked you up or not. You could grow up to be the Chavetz Chaim or Lahavdol, the worst person in the world, and it won't impact on Hashem at all. But it will make a difference to you. So don't doubt God's sincerity when he picked you up from the doorstep. The only one who benefited from being picked up was you. Now this should be motivating us for Akar Satov. People who feel that the benefactor has benefited through his own givings, they're less likely to feel gratitude than they would towards a benefactor who gives solely for altruistic reasons. When the altruistic benefactor tells you to do something, you will likely respond in a positive fashion, right? But many people, they can't believe that a benefactor, or even God for that matter, can be so altruistic and will therefore be reluctant to have a karas hatov. So where all that reluctance still comes from, we're going to have to still investigate a little bit. But why there are still people who just cannot believe that there would be a benefactor who would do that just for the other person and not them. So now we move to the next point. You're going to see that's going to be the next set of notes that I'm going to send out. It's going to start sheet number 6. The Kli Yakar continues with his interpretation of Pasuk Hei. He says, after explaining that God doesn't get any reward or any benefit from positive actions, he explains the second half of the Pasuk to show why people would mistakenly think that Hashem does benefit from what we do. Because the second half of the Pasuk says, Am naval velo chacham, O vile and unwise people. So he's saying there's two reasons why people have this mistaken notion. So the Pasuk flows like this. Do you think when you destroy, you're not destroying him, you're destroying yourself. When you do something good, you're the one who benefits, not Hashem. So now, and you still don't want to do that, and you don't have a karas hatov, it must be because you're a people who are naval and velo chacham. That's the reason why a person, even though the benefits are all his, and it's all for him, why would he still not want to listen to Hashem? Because he can't believe that somebody would do such a thing. Now, why would somebody think that way? You only think, impute characteristics on other people if you yourself are having that characteristic. And that's what the Kli Yakar says. It's an Am Naval Velo Chacham. Now, what is a Naval? So the Kli Yakar brings proofs that the definition of a Naval is a miserly person who has no philanthropic heart. Like Naval, who was the one that David had to deal with, if you remember. Remember with Abigail's wife? Remember the story with David? He was watching his sheep and the Naval didn't want to give him anything?
Remember? No, I don't remember that story, and I know most of those.
Vaguely, but that's what it was. So in other words, someone who constantly takes from others but doesn't give anything to others. That's a Naval. So the Torah identifies the particular personality trait in a person that will cause them to harbor thoughts that God has something to gain by what we do. Such thoughts could only come from a person who's a novel, someone who's so miserly and would never consider giving anything to anyone else unless he had something to personally gain from it. And if he can't anticipate receiving some return benefit, he'd never consider giving to others as well. That's a novel. In other words, you know, he's only nice when it pays. And he would never do an altruistic act. That is a novel. So now the Torah is saying, who's going to say that God created us for his needs and not only for our needs? It would be someone who's an am novel. A novel obviously feels that God would act the same way that he would act. So when he sees all the kindnesses that God bestows to mankind, he thinks to himself, why is God doing me all these favors gratis? It must be because he anticipates receiving some benefit from me. So since this novel, quote-unquote, knows that God isn't sincere, so he has no gratitude towards Hashem. See, that's the person saying, he did it for himself, not for me. Now the Pasuk goes on to refute these thoughts. And the Pasuk goes on by saying, is he not your father? Which means, it may be true that you feel the way you do, and it may be true that there are people who give only when they expect something in return. Nevertheless, in this case, Hashem is your father. He has mercy on you, just as a parent cares for a child and expects nothing in return, the classical father. So that the message is clear. Hashem's love for us is just like a father's love with no strings attached. So even the novel personality who believes that there's no such thing as a free lunch still has to accept the altruism in God's giving and therefore show gratitude to what he gives. Okay? That's being a novel. That's reason number one, and now Hashem is trying to refute that. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
The second part of the pasuk says that they're velo chacham, unwise. Okay, now this is followed immediately by the very end of the pasuk, which says, has he not created you and formed you? That's the follow-up in the next part of that pasuk. That's trying to deal with that issue. So what does that mean? The Torah is telling us that these thoughts of the novel just don't make sense. Not only you figure Hashem only gives if he wants to get, that doesn't make sense. And why? Since Hashem created you, so whatever you do, Hashem a fortiori can do as well. In other words, if he made you, whatever power you have to be able to do things, he certainly could have done them before he created you. So if God really needs something done, he can do it all by himself. He doesn't need you. He was here before you came. And that's explaining why you're not wise. He created you and he formed you. Only a person who's really foolish doesn't think things through and would reach such an erroneous conclusion. So now we really now are coming to we now have explained this first tool very well. So we have to picture in our mind that Hashem has picked us up from the doorstep and sustained us all the time. He's an altruistic benefactor. He totally gets nothing from what we do, just like a loving parent. He expects nothing in return. And, you know, don't impute anything but altruistic intentions on God's part. Hashem did something so you could be the benefactor and you would get something really good. You didn't ask Hashem? Good. But Hashem didn't do it for his sake. And the end of the day is, if you're not really crazy, you really appreciate the fact that you are alive. And if you ask anybody, would you rather be alive or not? Most people would rather be alive, unless they're not mentally healthy. Then we have other issues. But that's why you see the beauty of the Rishon and the Pasuk that he picked. Right? How Hashem tignolazos? Can you do anything for Hashem's benefit? Oh, you foolish you vile and unwise person. He's your father. He made you. He's getting nothing out of this whole deal. So now if he's asking you doing something, isn't that the least you could do to show your appreciation? So in this exercise, on top of thinking all these thoughts that Hashem picked you up at the doorstep, also, review in your mind the last time you did a chesed. The last time you did a chesed. Was it the way Hashem does a chesed? Or was it the way a novel would do it? In other words, like a lot of times we do chesed. And sometimes, well, you know, I'm going to do it, you know, and it's a good thing to do. And now, you know, maybe you're doing it only because you feel good that you do it. Or now, if I do him a favor, he'll owe me a favor one day. And, you know, it's the right thing to do. Or you do the way Hashem does it because I don't expect to get anything out of it. Okay? Now, if you're able to do that, right, now you take that feeling. Try to do something totally for somebody else when you know you're getting nothing out of it, even to the extent where the other person doesn't even know you're helping them. Okay? Now, think about that. Now, and or better yet, okay, now, take that feeling and multiply it a million times over. And you'll have some idea of what this tool is trying to teach you about gratitude. Or better yet, why don't you think of the times that you really went out of your way to help people and you put yourself out and it was totally for them and you got nothing out of it. And then when you needed a favor from them, they didn't give it to you. Did it ever happen to you?
Sure.
How did you feel?
I'm sure not great.
Not great. And what do you say? The least he could have, and it's not even a big favor you asked, let's say. The least he could have done is to do that. Now, what do you think of that person? That person is a vile person and not a very wise person.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now that's the cheshbon hanefesh we have to make. We have to make that cheshbon hanefesh and figure, do we want to be that kind of a person? If Hashem asks us to whatever, to daven, to do all the mitzvahs he asks us to do, which really, you know, even though it's 613, but the Chafetz Chaim said nowadays it's limited to a few hundred, and you don't have to do all 100 at the same time. Hashem wants you to make a bracha with kavana. All right? Is that really such a big, for everything he's done for you? Right? So how do you feel about a person who doesn't do back? And more than that, and when you make the bracha, it's only for your benefit also, not even for Hashem's. So this is the real depths of this first tool, is to, and this needs time. You have to think it through. You can't just, you know, say it. You got to sit down and think. Remember, you started from nothing and how you became and all this, and Hashem did all of this for you and everything, and you're successful and this and that and all these blessings that you have, and all Hashem wants you. They say, well, I didn't ask Hashem, but you know, Hashem is an altruistic giver. Why do you think Hashem's got an agenda? Maybe you're not an altruistic giver. The more a person will be an altruistic giver, the more he would believe that Hashem is infinitely greater, and the least that we can expect is that we should be able to perform that which he asks us to do.